Your ship makes the slow approach. Tevros Station is ahead. This station is right on the edge of civilized space. And you've been called out here to meet your father's lawyer. There's a hangar here, belonging to your dad. And you know he had other facilities, including offices. Had, because he's passed away. Your transport ship enters auto-docking procedures and slides seamlessly into the bay. You don't even feel it. These modern transports have really good stabilizers. You remember your dad's stories of slamming into atmosphere pasted to the roof of the cockpit because he was too cool to wear his restraint harness, whether that was true or just one of his embellishments. The image stuck. The hangar's plates are clean, the design a mix of modern and older material. This station has evolved over time, between the last planet rush, when people pushed the boundaries of civilized space, and helped colonize new worlds, and the new one, which is just about to begin. You make your way out of the bay. A few of the engineers wave like they recognize you, but go back to their work quickly. You head up to the main concourse, through a nearby mega lift. The lawyer is waiting for you. You know him, having seen him with your father at some function or another when you were quite young. The lawyer's name is Maki, and he is yellow-skinned, long-limbed, and has slicked back quills. He looks quite sharp, and you think he might be the better class of scam artist, or worst class of businessman. But he speaks calmly, and his sad smile is a dark reflection of the one you save for your very best customer. Your father made certain arrangements, and it's only because of his long relationship with me and with my firm that I agreed to carry out a bequest with such complexities and oversee his executorship. But I'm happy to do it. For my best client and biggest headache, he'll be missed. But he said you could carry on in his footsteps. He wouldn't say that if he didn't believe it. So, down to details. He extends one hand, a solemn gesture, and you take it willingly and shake once. Two more of his hands extend, each holding an object. One holds a small notebook, bound in leather, and the other, an auto-injector, filled with some thick, silver-hued substance. Each of those is the crystallization of cutting research. There's no equal to them. Research and development departments at recreational genetics, software, engineering, and medical companies would bankrupt themselves betting on these. And now they're yours. You hear his words, but they don't look like much. Even the high-quality material, even the real leather binding. Nothing about the notebook looks impressive enough to be worth that much. You flick it open, revealing a very sharp-looking screen, with an operating system you've never seen before. A woman's alert voice comes from somewhere inside your ear, vibrating the bones. You don't think the lawyer can hear it. "I am Codex. I am capable of detecting threats, analyzing new species, and providing advice where useful. I can interface with any computer system, and my long-range extranet link should function in literally any unshielded location. I will catalog information for reference. I accept voice commands. I will learn from your preferences. This screen has haptic feedback, and predictive text is off by default." Maki smiles at your amazement. The codex has a small hook so it can be attached to your belt. You do so immediately, and then turn your attention to the injector. "What is this?"
"Your father will tell you more,"
is all he says. You hold on to the injector.
"He rented out most hangars on Tevros Station for you. There's a xeno-compatible daycare, a living quarters, all in the name of helping you complete his... well, I'll let him tell you. For 4 years, I've been overseeing the legal hurdles, and he's been providing the funds."
You're following after him with difficulty. His legs really are very long as he moves onward towards a room at the end of the hallway. Quite near the elevator, you inspect the area. It has a look of recent construction, but not too recent.
Beyond are two meeting rooms. Even I'm not privileged to know the contents of Mr. Steele's final message to you. It'll play for you, and you alone. I believe I know most of the information, however. This room has numerous smart sensors. No expense has been spared. It is tuned to your genetic code, which we had on file. I trust you've not tampered with it too much, despite current gene splicing fads.
Maki steps aside and bows deeply. The door opens, and it seems as though the lawyer does not intend to stand straight again until after you have gone inside. The room beyond is lit with only a single pale green light. It looks something like a tomb, which is only fitting. You step inside and hear the door slide shut behind you automatically. Your eyes take a second to adjust. There's a comfortable leather recliner. You recognize it. Your father's favorite chair from his study. It is set up opposite of a very thin holographic monitor, being projected out of a tiny cube, which is simply sitting on the ground. Nothing else to do, so you walk to the chair and sit down. It is incredibly comfortable, soft, and it reclines instantly. Just right for your height, posture. It knows you, or it can tell a lot about how you want to sit, and the screen hums to life. The figure on the screen is unmistakably Victor Steele, the famous playboy who traveled the galaxy, uncovered planets, founded a business, made his fortune, dated and mated his way through an entire planet rush, and more. Or, as you know him, Dad. He's graying more than before he sent you off to boarding school, his goatee neatly clipped, and a few more wrinkles than you remember. But he's smiling, and he's hooked up to some kind of IV you assume must be his life support.
Hey, sport.
The hologram talks to you very naturally. It makes eye contact. It looks a little sad.
If you're seeing this, I'm gone. I actually knew this was coming for a while. You might be mad at me, but I'm not there to see it. And that's just as well. So knock back a whiskey for me when it's all over. Your mom's well taken care of, and I want you to run the company. You're young, you'll do well by it. But I'm not just giving it to you. If you've watched the news, you know. The planet rush is starting soon.
A line superimposes itself on the screen, reminding you the planet rush actually started a couple weeks ago. But the gates allowing for travel farther out aren't even online yet.
I'm recording this early, he says, because by the time I die, I won't even look like me. I know, I have a mostly human appearance. Weren't you always impressed by that? After all the things I was exposed to, all the people I had sex with? You ever wonder how I stayed mostly humanoid? And how I survived without contracting some kind of horrible sexual disease? The hologram is grinning, but your dad was always a frank and open man. No exception here. The vial you have is an immune booster with a nanomachine chaser. It'll let you eat basically any food, interact with any alien species, and do most anything in the planet rush without catching any horrible diseases or suffering any poisoning. Honestly, this should let you chug gasoline without gastrointestinal upset. But don't test that. Unless it's on a dare. Instead of letting normally poisonous foods or substances hurt you, it'll mod your biology to be more like the native fauna. I had something like this made up, but I ended up mutating from sexual fluid exposure too. A worthwhile way to shorten your lifespan by a few hundred years, let me tell you.
You look at the silvery vial.
This recording will repeat until you take it, kiddo. This recording will repeat.
You press the injector against your arm. A momentary pinch, and then the silver liquid begins to drain.
I sent probes. Military, hardened, ahead of you. They'll go through the gates when they open. They're coded to your genes. You have other family members, though, so I would suggest you rush. Because any of your conniving relatives might be looking to take the company, and I've made sure they'd be able to. They're getting a heads up, too. At this very station, there's a lockbox which contains the codes you'll need to take over the company's holdings. The key to it is in one of those probes. There are dozens, and they all point to one another. The codex you're carrying will also let you relay the location of mineral or plant finds back to the company, which will pay you a stipend for each one you find.
He sighs and runs a hand over his silver goatee. You don't remember him looking so old. He wipes the corner of his mouth and looks at the side of his hand. There's a red streak of blood there.
Good luck, sport. In the next room is a hangar, containing a fixed-up, modernized version of the tiny ship I started my journey in during the 13th planet rush. It can fit about 3 people, so if you pick up a crew as big as mine was, you'll want to update to a bigger ship later. And it's guarded. There's a woman in the next room, a Galotian, voracious protein hunter. But she's not really dangerous, and she won't hurt you. She's guarding the ship's key. I placed some recordings to help you handle her. I know you're up to it. Your first test starts now. I'm as proud of you as anyone could be. You'll do great.
The door on the other side of the room opens up.
Good luck, sport.
You hesitate at the threshold, just long enough to draw the scoped pistol you keep on your belt, pull out your knife with the other hand, and hold both at the ready. Your dad was a legend, so something he considered not really dangerous might still knock you on your ass. But whatever challenges might come, you're sure you'll be able to handle it, make him proud, and inherit his company. And if there happen to be attractive green women somewhere along the way, well, you'll do what a captain must.